This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, Fermi spies a record-breaking GLB, insights into the first starbursts, and surprising star formation from primordial clouds. Gamma-ray bursts are enormously energetic events, thought to be signatures of massive stellar explosions in distant galaxies. On September the 16th last year, a spectacular event was recorded by the Gamma Ray Burst Monitor, or GBM, on board the Fermi Gamma Ray satellite. Launched on the 11th of June 2008, the Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope searches for these events using sensitive instruments, as well as surveying the sky to investigate the high energy emission from other interesting objects, such as active galaxies, pulsars and solar flares, as well as unidentified sources of high-energy gamma rays. Since its launch, Fermi has triggered follow-up observations of 58 GLBs detected with the Large Area Telescope, another science instrument on board the satellite. Located in the southern constellation of Carina, the burst of September the 16th, given the designation GLB 080916C, was quickly observed with other telescopes on the ground. A team using the 2.2-metre telescope at La Silla in Chile calculated that the object was at a redshift of 4.35, a distance of 12.2 billion light-years. Analysis of the results, published in Science Express on the 19th of February, show that this burst is the most energetic observed to date, releasing more than twice the estimated energy of the previous record holder. Knowing both the distance and the brightness of a burst means that the energy of the explosion can be estimated. Although GLBs emit their energy in very narrow jets, estimates of their energies are usually based on how much energy would have been involved if it was emitted equally in all directions, a quantity known as the isotropic energy. In this case, the isotropic energy of the burst was almost 9,000 times the power of a single regular supernova explosion, and the gas emitting the initial gamma-ray flash must have been travelling at almost the speed of light. As well as being record-breaking, this burst displayed another unusual characteristic, a 5-second time delay between the arrival on Earth of the highest and lowest energy photons. Such a delay has been seen only in one previous burst, and the explanation is not yet certain. One idea is that the delay is caused by the nature of the material surrounding the explosion. The low and high energy gamma rays could be coming from different parts of the jet, or created through different mechanisms, according to Peter Michelson, the principal investigator for Fermi's Large Area Telescope. Another suggestion comes from the speculative idea of quantum gravity. If correct, then at its smallest scales, space is not smooth, but turbulent, and this turbulence could have stronger effects on higher energy photons, slowing them down slightly compared to other photons. This effect would be very small and only visible over huge distances, such as that to a distant GLB. Further observations of other GLBs at different distances should be able to distinguish between the two ideas. If the environment around the GLB is causing the time delay, then the signal should be similar for GLBs at any distance. However, if the effects of quantum gravity are causing the discrepancy, then the time delay should be more pronounced for more distant GLBs. Fermi is designed to operate for at least 5 years, and so should collect a large sample of GRV events over that time. Exactly how galaxies form has been a topic of debate for some time. It is not clear whether stars begin forming everywhere at once, or just in clumps around the disk, but research published in Nature during February has found evidence that star-forming regions in young galaxies are small, but forming stars at astonishingly high rates. A team of astronomers led by Fabian Walter at the Max Planck Institute for Astronomy in Germany studied a distant galaxy 12.8 billion light-years away to investigate the early stages of galactic evolution, less than a billion years after the Big Bang. The galaxy, a quasar known as J1148 plus 5251, located in Ursa Major, is one of the most distant galaxies known and provides a view of star formation in the very early universe. The team used the IRAM interferometer, a radio telescope located on the Plateau de Bure in the French Alps, to search for the highly redshifted signal of ionized carbon, a reliable signal of ongoing star formation. What they found was that the star formation was concentrated in a region at the center of the galaxy, with a radius of about 750 parsecs, and apparently forming around 1,000 solar mass stars per square kiloparsec each year. This is similar to the rate of star formation seen in active galaxies much closer to the Milky Way, forming stars much more recently but over a much smaller area. One nearby example is the galaxy known as ARP 220, which is forming stars at a similar rate, but in an area only 100 parsecs in radius. Even in our own Milky Way, the rate of star formation is an estimated mere 1 solar mass per year. Some regions within our galaxy are as active as the centre of J1148+5251, but on a much smaller scale, such as the core of the Orion Nebula. Stars form when clouds of gas collapse under gravity. As the cloud collapses, the temperature and pressure increase until a limit is reached where the collapse is halted and stars stop forming. This limit has been reached in the core of the Orion Nebula and in the centre of J1148+5251, and according to Walter, J1148 is like 100 million Orion Nebula-type regions combined. This result is important in ongoing studies of galaxy formation, suggesting that galaxies in the early universe formed from the centre. In the early stages of a galaxy, the core forms stars at a spectacular rate and grows in size over time as young galaxies collide and merge. Observations such as these are tricky. The signature of ionized carbon is radiation in the infrared part of the spectrum, but the huge distance to these very early galaxies causes a cosmological redshift which stretches the wavelength of the radiation as it travels towards us here on Earth, shifting it to the radio part of the spectrum, where it is harder to resolve fine details. At a distance of almost 13 billion light-years, the core of J1148 appears about the same size as a 1-euro coin placed at a distance of 18 kilometres. Observations of this sort are a key aim of ALMA, the Atacama Large Millimeter Array, currently under construction high in the Chilean Andes. Orbiting around large galaxies are collections of dwarf galaxies, relatively small groups of stars gravitationally bound to a larger companion. New results from the Galaxy Evolution Explorer, a satellite operating in the ultraviolet part of the spectrum, has found a collection of very unusual dwarf galaxies, forming in a way that has not previously been seen. Most galaxies in the nearby universe contain large amounts of dark matter, and their stars formed from gas that had already been processed by a previous generation of stars, and so contains a significant proportion of elements heavier than helium. Large galaxies, especially those involved in mergers, are often surrounded by tidal dwarf galaxies, formed from the gas stripped out in the interaction. These tidal dwarfs have very little dark matter, but a high proportion of heavy elements, since the gas used to form them comes from previous populations of stars in the nearby larger galaxy. But a study of gas in a region known as the Leo Ring, led by David Thilker of Johns Hopkins University in the US, has found a collection of dwarf galaxies forming from gas which lacks both dark matter and heavy elements. The Leo Ring is a huge cloud of mainly hydrogen and helium gas surrounding two massive galaxies, M105 and NGC 3384, located in the constellation of Leo. The cloud contains a mass of hydrogen almost 2 million times the mass of the Sun, and is 200 kiloparsecs, or more than 650,000 light-years in diameter. It was first discovered 25 years ago, but is only visible at radio wavelengths, where emission from hydrogen atoms is detectable. No optical emission has been detected from the ring, despite sensitive observations, and no stars have been found to be associated with it. It is thought that the cloud is a primordial object, leftover gas from the early universe, which has remained unchanged over billions of years, lacking the heavy elements created by stellar populations. The new observations with the GALAX satellite, however, have discovered evidence that star formation has been happening recently within the ring. Young stars burn very bright and very hot, emitting large numbers of ultraviolet photons, which GALAX is sensitive to. What the team discovered was ultraviolet signatures of young stars in several clumps of gas within the southern half of the ring, and they suggest that this is due to dwarf galaxies forming from the primordial gas. Normal galaxies are dominated by dark matter, so these star-forming regions in the Leo ring, where dark matter is absent, are somewhat unusual, and possibly demonstrates a new mode of dwarf galaxy formation. The study was published in Nature on the 19th of February, and the authors suggest that clouds similar to the Leo ring could have been more common in the early universe, and so many more dark matter-deficient dwarf galaxies may be out there waiting to be discovered. And finally, at 4 minutes to five in the morning on February the 10th, an active communications satellite operated by Iridium and a retired Russian military satellite collided 800 kilometres above Siberia. Moving at a relative speed of 10 kilometres per second, the collision released an estimated 50 kilojoules of energy per gram, according to researchers at the University of Southampton in the UK who simulated the incident. The collision took place in a busy part of Earth orbit and created more than 600 pieces of debris, large enough to be tracked from the ground. The space around Earth is already home to many hundreds of satellites, including 66 satellites operated by Iridium, and the amount of debris is increasing every year, raising the risk of further damaging collisions between objects. While astronauts on the International Space Station use a much lower orbit, and so are not likely to be at risk from debris from this particular incident, it has increased the chances of a collision during a planned shuttle mission to fix the Hubble Space Telescope. Even before this particular incident, a previous test of a Chinese anti-satellite weapon in 2007 had increased the chances of a catastrophic collision during a Hubble servicing mission to close to NASA's acceptable level of risk for a manned mission. This incident has further increased that risk and could mean the mission is scrapped altogether. The problem of space debris is only going to get worse as more satellites are launched into increasingly busy orbits filled with older satellites, which are often left in orbit once they reach the end of their operational lifetimes. And while both NASA and ESA track many thousands of pieces of space debris, there are many more fragments of space junk orbiting Earth which are far too small to be detected from the ground, but which could cause serious damage to another orbiting spacecraft if another collision were to occur.